Okay, so we'll clap at the same time, like a 1, 2, 3 clap. Does that work? All right, I'm ready when you are.
I am too.
All right, 1, 2, 3. Oh, that sucked.
Okay, you ready?
All right. Oh, we might just be delayed because of, you know, Zoom. All right, let's try it again.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, clap. Cool. We did it.
Let's try it one more time. You ready?
Oh, it came off perfectly on mine.
What?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
I know. It makes no sense whatsoever. Do you want to try it again?
Yeah, let's try it one more time. You ready?
Okay. Ready.
1, 2, 3. Oh, I hate this so
whatever.
Much.
No, you know what? We're never going to line it up. It's
there's
going to
be a point.
It's close enough, though. Like, we can literally just drop it in place. Who cares?
Who cares? Fuck it. Oh, you'll see the hard slaps in there anyway and be able to line it, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm going to give you some hard slaps.
Okay. So right, we start.
Yes.
We actually starting this?
Yes, we're going to actually
right now?
Start this. Yes.
Okay, from here. Hey.
I'm Bob.
I'm Rance.
We're in quarantine.
That's cool. Just trying to save people's lives.
I bet you're doing a great job.
I'm a real hero, man.
Are you an essential employee?
No, I am. I'm. Burger King has said that I'm a hero. If you watch all of their commercials, they say, stay at home and let Burger King come to you. So
wait,
I'm definitely
delivering?
Yeah, they're delivering because that's how you take care of heroes is you deliver at home.
I didn't know that Burger King was delivering at home.
Yeah.
I mean,
come
I clearly
on, man.
Need Burger
Step
King
on it.
At
if we're
going to
be putting on some
body.
More weight during this thing.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't.
How are you holding up?
I'm fine. I mean, I would say, I'm doing all right. I'm basically an introvert anyway. So I'm doing cool. What about you?
No, I'm locked in a house with my fiance and 3 stepkids.
Well, cheers to that.
So yeah, that's it.
You're
no, it's
your
fine.
Face.
She's great.
Just
they're
completely
great.
Stopped moving.
Yeah. So let's talk about what we're doing here.
Okay. Do you want to start over again? Because I think we've done a pretty bad job.
Okay. I mean,
what
just
do you
was
think?
Checking in with you. No.
No, what do you think?
I feel like this is the exact same way that our podcast, our original podcast, started like 5 years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
We
okay,
just
let's
started,
just go
then
on
we
from
went,
here.
Should we start over again? And then we just kept starting over again.
Okay.
And then one day we just stopped.
One day we just didn't do it anymore.
Cool.
Yeah, so let's talk about what we're doing. Yeah. Let's talk about what we're doing. Because I'm ready.
Well, we decided to start a book club. I'm just flipping through learning to use a Kindle. That's cool.
Is that a manual for it?
No, that's the it's my iPad.
Oh, I was like, do you have a
program.
Printed manual and you're reading a book on a Kindle? What the hell is wrong with you?
No.
It's cool. I've got the original copy right here. Of what we're reading.
That's ridiculous. The copy that we had
it
when we were.
It stinks. Also, okay, so I do need to say before I even say what it is, this is actually my second copy of it.
Okay.
Because my first copy, I have a long story associated with this. But let's not talk about that yet. We'll talk about our copies once we actually talk about what it is we're going to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
So we decided for a book club that we are going to read Doom. From 1995 by David Abihu and Brad Linaweaver. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing David Abihu's name right.
I don't.
So that's what we're reading.
I don't either. Cool.
I think this is mostly
if you can call this reading.
Right. I think it's mostly forgotten for the most part. Like, I think even id Software probably disavows for the most part any franchise relationship between this and the successful games from 93, 94, 2016 and on.
Unless you're looking in Doom Eternal and you're looking up some of the Easter eggs, because there are some Easter eggs relating to these books in Doom Eternal.
So do you think they did that tongue-in-cheek? Do you think they were like, these books are friggin' terrible?
Yeah, I mean, they're hot garbage.
Well, let's talk a little bit, though, about our history with them, because
before we go on, this episode, we're not going to actually really get into the books. We're just going to give some background on the books. So, like, if you're joining us, you have a chance to actually pick up the book that we're talking about, yeah. Which is specifically Knee Deep in the Dead by Daffod Abhu and Brad Lina Weaver.
Don't pick it up.
You can find it on Kindle. You can probably find it at a used bookstore unless somebody's already burned it for warmth during the quarantine.
You can probably find it in the trash can.
Yeah, that's...
unless you're me and you still have your second copy of it.
Buy it everywhere at your local dumpster fire.
It's from Pocket Star Books. I love the fact, though, that you have the really shitty remake of the cover.
Yeah.
I have the one where they just took the dead dude's art because the guy who made this art is dead.
Which dude is that?
I can't remember his name, but he did like a bunch. It wasn't Brom, because Brom
right,
did the,
Brom
the
did
cover
Doom
for
2, right?
Doom 2. But this guy is 100% dead, and I can't remember his name. So rest in peace.
Nice.
So I'm very, like, I feel honored to have the original copy mm-hmm. of this, but it is my second one, and let me tell you why it's my second one. So my history with this is our father went to Egypt for some damn thing for his college, right?
Yeah, yeah.
R.I.P. dads. And R.I.P. And so my mom and I went to a local.
Your mom.
Yeah. Or my mom, not your mom.
Not, no.
Even though it's the same mom.
Even though we were at one point brothers from the same mother.
And now we're brothers from different mothers because you choose to be.
Brothers from a dead father.
Oh, crippling sadness. So we went to White Marsh Mall, which is a mall around here, and I went into the bookstore, and for some reason I must have been in sixth grade, and I remember why I know it was in sixth grade, because there's a specific moment with these books in seventh grade that I have. So in sixth grade I found these books in White Marsh Mall. It was this and Hell on Earth, which is the second one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I gotta get these books. They're based on my favorite. I gotta buy these books. So, of course, I asked Mom. I was like, buy me these books.
She said no.
She was like, that's fine. Books are fine. Why would I not buy you books? Actually, she was like, what kind of books are you buying? And I was like, I don't want to admit what they are. She wouldn't know. She wouldn't care. So I bought them. Then we went to the state fair, the Timonium State Fair, which is right up the road, right? From mm-hmm. there. I left my new copy of Daffod Abhu and Brad Lina Weaver's Doom Knee Deep in the Dead in the hot car. I came back and I hadn't even had it for 3 hours, and the glue on the spine completely came off, and the cover from the book came off. So
what the hell, man?
Pocket Star Books did a hot job of giving me some hot garbaggio. I should have taken that as an indicator. I didn't. But I also didn't know how to repair it, so I got really freaked out. And, like, a year later, I bought another one. I had read it by that point, but I wanted another one to have it in my collection because it's very important to keep it.
Yeah.
So that's this copy. It stinks, too. It's got, like, the old pulp paper, and it's, like, yellowed.
Oh, man, you need to post a hot picture of all four of them.
There's some kind of weird stain here. What's that from? What did I do?
Mm. You love those books a lot.
Love them books.
Yeah. It was high quality. High quality.
I've already found a number of editorial issues in this, too.
Oh, man. I have never seen mm-hmm. a Kindle with spelling problems. Okay,
so
and I don't know if they were just ripped from the original text file. Like, I don't know how they make
probably.
Books. Do they put them all on a computer like back in the 90s? Were books all on a computer, and then, or did they go like the old school printing press where each little letter had to be laid in?
No, they did computer. They did.
Oh,
computer.
So they might have just taken that file and made it. I wonder if like, okay.
Look at the very top. Does the top of the page have this on it? This thing that they clearly put the D and then space twice and the O.
No, I don't have that.
Okay. What's yours look like?
That's what it looks like.
Doom Book 1.
You're going to get real sick of reading the name Arlene by the time this book is done. Because, dear God, I'm only about halfway through it, and I'm sick of reading the name Arlene.
If you're – okay, well, you're looking for that. And this – we're not even talking about the books yet. We're just, like, the first impressions, like, just things that we got to put out there in the open. When your first word in your book is a country – that I can't even pronounce. You know that this is not good writing. Is it Kafiristan?
And
also, if I picked up a book, the first word is Kafiristan, I'm not associating that with Doom, Knee Deep in the Dead, or Hell on Earth. I have to even look up if Kafiristan is a real place.
It's, oh my God.
I'm looking it up right now.
I can't find the misspelling right now.
That's
fine. Want to keep like farting around looking for it. So we should do some background. Should talk some background on these books. First of all, you know how you said that.
Oh, that's good.
What's good?
That's good. I'm not even gonna get there right now.
Okay.
because we've already found a spelling mistake.
Let's talk about the authors of this book for a second.
Before we even get to the authors, mm-hmm. Can we talk about us and our background with this?
Yeah, sure. See, we have some background. I mean, you already gave us some background about how you got the hot book. You got the literally.
Yeah. But do you know how I got
book.
So there's a hot book. Yeah, a hot book. And also I had book one and two, and I didn't realize there was gonna be a third and a fourth.
Right.
You then at some point, I suppose you were, like, working a job somewhere. Like, I think you were working at, like, the local, like, craft store at the time.
Back when I could make money, yeah.
And I was in seventh grade, and you just were so kind, and you were a cool bro, and you surprised me with the third and fourth books.
Hey, bro! I felt
because you were like, Doom books, cool! And I was like, oh, cool! And I can't hate you enough for that gift in retrospect. back at you. I mean, here's the thing, though. I will say, so you and I have both loved these games forever, right?
Yeah.
First Doom came out, like it was mind blowing. I remember going to the computer show in sales with you, and literally every booth that was a booth of worth had Doom on display.
Oh yeah, when it came out, it was the most ridiculous thing, and like we had, of course, played Wolfenstein,
mm-hmm.
and then Doom came out, and we didn't even have a machine strong enough to run it, and we were begging our old man. We were playing Mega Man on
on the
VGA
PC.
Practically
like,
at that
like
point.
a crappy remake of Mega Man that had two bad guys in it for the VGA. So
there's a cat just climbs across your desk.
I don't understand.
She's gonna climb on you and start meowing.
This doesn't ever happen.
Oh, she knows that you're
she knows that we're on the camera.
Yeah.
So we played. So of course, like the minute that we got the opportunity to consume something that was Doom that wasn't a game, it was like, oh my God, we got to read this. It's clearly going to be amazing. Whereas Doom already had a really minimal storyline as it was expressed in the games. However, I will defend that storyline later because it's far more complex than most people give it credit for. And I will say that I have the authority to do so because, as you know, I have played Doom for hundreds of hours of my life, if not thousands of hours of my life.
You are in fact one of the best Doom players that I've ever seen. You're so disgusting that you will turn a corner and already be shooting before you've turned the corner. Like, you just know what's there. Here, it's outrageous.
And for any hardcore sweaty boy out there who thinks that Nightmare is the way to play Doom, they need to get out of my face because Ultraviolence is the way to go. Why? Because it's the most natural to what the game is meant to be. You're ripping and tearing. You are removing demon. They don't respawn. So no, nightmare is a fun challenge mode. It's not a real mode. Okay, so don't act like you're super hardcore. Be like, I'm playing nightmare and I beat on nightmare, or speedruns. I don't care about speedruns either. You know why? Kill everything. Nobody. No. Like, if you want to do a fun challenge for a speedrun in Doom, that's fine. Beat that stuff on ultraviolence, 100% everything, and that's fine. That's all you gotta do, man. That's all you gotta do.
Wow. Anyway. Wow, you're a real gatekeeper over here.
Yeah, because it's stupid. It's stupid. Nightmare isn't, it's not a real thing.
Also, I will say, I have watched some videos of people who have explained the weird, like, culture and sciences behind speedruns.
Yeah.
And it's no longer about even necessarily finishing the levels fast.
Yeah.
It's this weird, in recording them, it's beating the code,
mm-hmm,
almost. Yep. Like, it's you have to do, like, there's certain pixels per second that move, yeah, and like you have to have a specific setup because you can't overclock and count. Like, the game has a way of tracking what your timing is and records it can record a version of you playing that game and all, yeah, of your movements and keystrokes.
Yeah, it records all keystrokes, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how they judge what speedruns are.
And it's also based on the game's internal timer, which is also linked to your processor.
It's so weird.
And so, but like you, I think it's fascinating because it really is a bunch of people who have not looked at the game for the game, but rather than looking at it for the computational, like the calculations and also how like manipulating the physics of the game engine, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's your thing, that's fine. I don't think that is Doom to its heart the way that Doom, Knee Deep in the Dead by Brad Lineweaver and Daffy DePugh, really isn't either.
I want to tell you a thing about Doom.
Please
real
do.
Real quick. I have a deep love and like I get a large amount of pleasure going back and replaying the original Doom, and I loved it very much and it changed video games. But it's your all-time favorite game.
Yeah.
There's just something. You spent so many hours playing it compared to me. I'm like an amateur at it. You're just like, you know where all the secrets are, you know what the maps are. It's a little sickening. But going back to the original README file for Doom, one of the things that jumped out at me was not the story stuff.
Yeah.
It was actually the installing Doom directions. It reads, Doom is too large to run from a floppy disk, so before playing, you must install Doom to your hard drive. To install Doom, follow these steps. Make a backup copy of your original disks.
Did you ever make a backup copy of your original disks?
No. No. Who did that?
It's just in case, you need 2 3.5 drives to do this.
All of this DOS stuff, because I forgot that Doom was on DOS.
Yep.
So all of the original README has the directions to install it via DOS, and
yeah,
it's like root directories and crap like that.
Yep.
This is too
You said
much.
You said it. You had to do to go into it, /Doom, and then you just had to write Doom because that would run the exe or the bat file, mm-hmm, right?
And they were like, "Oh man, it's the coolest if you just type Doom."
Doom.
Just type Doom.
Well, because that was a big selling point for Windows 95 was that Bill Gates, and I think we'll be coming back to Bill Gates later, Bill Gates touted Windows 95 as like the ultimate gaming operating system.
Yeah.
To play Doom. And there's this hilariously terrible and also really tone-deaf video, 4 years before Columbine, of him wearing a trench coat and holding a shotgun and talking about how, like, if you want to execute demons and doing this on the Microsoft Windows 95 platform through Doom 95 is the best way to go.
Yeah, it was.
It's awesome.
It's ridiculous.
How much of a badass, though, how much of an actual badass Bill Gates actually is, like, you look back on it and you're like, not only did this guy pretty much say F you to Congress in his monopoly his Monopoly trial, and he's also like a super philanthropist. Like, okay, I'll take the fact that he was pretty much a badass back then with his shotgun and his trench coat.
He looked terrible. He looked so bad. So dumb.
So bad.
I wish somebody had just looked at him and gone, Bill, let's like, I don't know, let's modify this a little bit because you look
really...
Yeah,
let's make this a little...
But I guess the only people that were there to give him fashion advice were other fucking nerds.
He's wearing a cardigan underneath his trench coat. He's wearing like one of these, like literally a Mr. Rogers like button up sweater. He looks like a real shoelace. Like, he looks so stupid.
Okay. Do you want to move on to the actual, like, some of the stuff surrounding the books themselves?
Yes. Oh, yeah, but you never got through the... You never got through your talking about installing the game. I feel
because I don't even know what you want me to read anymore, bro, because there's so much of it. It's, you actually... But the worst part is you said most of it. You just, you have to, okay, put the disk in your floppy drive, select the appropriate drive by typing A or B colon, then press the enter key, type install at the prompt, and press the enter key. And it's just like talking about directories, and then go to, and then enter Doom.
Do you have to...
I'm tired.
Do you have to back up your floppy disk for a second?
You do, back up all of your disks.
Here's the thing that kills me.
Yeah.
This is a shareware game, right? So technically it was for free. So like backing it up is
one was
fine,
free.
But Doom, like the first episode, right?
Yeah.
Can I just go somewhere and get another free copy of it as opposed to need to spend the time backing it up?
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Discs cost
back
money.
Up, dude.
Back up your disc, okay? Because if you ruin this one disc thing, you won't have it. You won't be able to immediately play Doom. You'll have to go. Also, at that time, you could only get it when we first got it. You could only get it at computer shows.
Yeah, because that was where they released it on shareware. It was like, let's put it out there and see what happens. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the thing.
So
let's talk about this.
So you know how you were talking about how the guy who created the cover art for that book is dead?
Yes.
Yeah. Brad Lineweaver, one of the authors, is also dead.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
Wait. What?
Yeah. Yep.
Did not expect that when you said that you'd done some research.
Passed away in last year, August 29th,
2019. No.
Unfortunately, had a long fight with cancer.
That's a shame.
But apparently, Brad Lineweaver had the most. He had a ridiculous life. Dude had a ton of like Hollywood friends, including he was friends with Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah,
the guy who was originally Starbuck, I think. Who also is no, that wasn't Starbuck. Sorry, Richard Hatch was the other guy from the original Battlestar series. He also wrote several three Battlestar Galactica novels with Richard Hatch. So dude loved sci-fi. He wrote a series of books. Oh, he wrote a novel for Sliders, the television series.
Yeah. I brought his stuff up here too while you were talking. Yeah. Who forgot about that? I did.
Yeah, he won a bunch of awards, like legitimate Nebula awards. He wrote a book called Moon of Ice, which is an alternate history tale that has the Nazis being the first to develop the atomic bomb. They use it to defeat the Soviet Union and Great Britain and reach a stalemate with the United States. Sound a little bit like another franchise that has.
It sounds a lot like Wolfenstein.
Yeah, exactly. Especially the newer version of Wolfenstein.
Yeah, with the stuff where you're like going to Venus.
Yep.
Spoiler alert. and the moon. Also, though, but that's, I find it funny that that's also a Philip K. Dick thing.
Oh, he's dude.
This... Man in the High Castle is. I mean, it's not the exact same thing, but it is. You know, Man in the High Castle does talk about like rocket the Germans having like rocketry, transportation, things of that sort.
Well, he was apparently like friends with science fiction writer Robert Heinlein.
Mm-hmm.
Has this whole stuff. There's a video I watched where apparently Heinlein had a a gold or a brass cannon, like an actual little miniature cannon.
Yeah.
That they used to fire off for 4th of July as part of their like 4th of July tradition. And he was friends with Heinlein. And then when Heinlein passed away, his wife left the cannon to Lina Weaver in her will. And there's a video from 2009 of Lina Weaver and a bunch of other nerds getting together on the 4th of July and firing this cannon and talking about Robert Heinlein.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, just look it up. You just have to look up Brad Lina Weaver brass cannon. And
okay.
It's
I can't wait.
Awkward to watch. It's so weird. And the last 5 minutes of it is just them firing off this cannon and you waiting for the wick to the fuse to burn down.
Yes. Yes.
And then the cannon just kind of going off like
does it fizzle
really,
out?
It like doesn't fizzle careers? Out, but it just sort of it goes in that really not loud way that sometimes you know, gunshots on camera go.
Yeah.
He was also, he wrote a lot of television and movie sci-fi, like, scripts and stuff. And I think out of everyone that he was friends with Hollywood-wise, the most interesting one was, let's see, he wrote an original story credit for The Brain Leeches.
I really like, by the way, I'm just going to tell you really quick, I really appreciate your dedication to your research.
Yeah.
Because I know for literally this is all like you have so deeply researched this all from Wikipedia, have you not?
Yeah, most of it's Wikipedia, yeah, but I did go back. He was
because I'm reading it with you.
he was friends with former adult star Tracy Lords.
I researched mine from Wikipedia too.
What?
I said I researched mine on Wikipedia too.
Cool. I actually want to hear about the other author because he sounds way more exciting than Brad Lina Weaver. And when we've always talked about these novels, we have for some reason mentally erased Brad Lina Weaver's name from the cover of the books and have always just said to each other, Daffod Ab Hugh, which if we're pronouncing it wrong, like terribly sorry. I want to hear about it. About him.
I'm not disappointed if we misspeak if his name is mispronounced because he's a friggin' garbage pile.
Okay.
If there is a leather boot of a human being, it's this guy. So it's funny, actually. So you were talking about Brad Lina Weaver, and I actually was looking on Wikipedia while you were telling me about this stuff, and he said there's a quote here where he says. He noted that I've been getting libertarian messages into everything for a quarter of a century, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, and I wanted to point that out, but yes, totally.
So that means like so that connects back to Daffy W, right? So this guy's name because I didn't understand what the origin of his name was when I was younger. You know, I just didn't think any more about it. So recently I looked it up and found out, and you and I had both found out that his name is something else. His name was born something else. And
David Lieberman?
Yes. David Lieberman, I think.
Okay.
And that his mom changed his name. And that's fine. There's not much about – he's done a bunch of other books. He did some mm-hmm. Deep Space Nine books, for example, for Star Trek.
I want to dive into that hot trash one day too.
But let me tell you, let me read you a little bit about what I found out about Daffod Ab Hugh. He is, as all other libertarian writers, seems to be a desperate internet troll.
Oh no!
This is from February 15th, 2007. This is a website called Making Light. I'm not sure what the basis of it is. I did not care to put a deep amount of research into this. Because I just wanted to read all this garbage about Daffod Ab Hugh.
Also, that's how we do everything.
Yeah. So, somebody writes here, this woman named Teresa, right? It's like a forum. And she writes, I've tried to write about this a couple of times since I heard this story, but I couldn't do it justice because it makes my brain go all woozily. Woozily is the word that she used.
Woozily.
Know that I trust this source.
Woozily.
Rosely.
Woozily.
I'm feeling all woozily. Patrick couldn't deal with it either. Who the fuck is Patrick? To heck with artful journalism. Here's the flat telling. David Abhew, sometimes science fiction writer, has become a right-wing pundit.
Sometimes science fiction writer.
Sometimes. So then she goes on to talk about all this stuff. But then she has quotes from other things that he's said on other websites. For example, one of his quotes on a website he was trolling, it says, lefties and liberals make almost a religious fetish out of claiming to have received death threats. This is a real snowflake dropper right here. This guy.
Did he seriously drop the lefties and liberals?
Yep.
Lefties. Yep.
They use the claim as a truncheon to attack anyone who disputes any portion of what they argue. Like, this guy is one of those guys. He's cool. Got to go on the internet and tell us about how right he is.
Mm. Cool guy.
The idea, dim as it is to contrast the bile the left spews out with even more wretched and revolting vile supposedly spewed out by their enemies on the right. So then he called somebody at the New York Times. The guy's name is Bill Donahue. He called him Bill Anal Sex Donahue. Now they've got Bill Anal Sex Donahue working the New York Times like it's a cheap whore, braying in faux outrage that he's offended by something. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Cool guy.
Then other people respond to this. My experience in defeat is that he's moderately intelligent.
I can't wait to
hear
more of this guy's adventures.
Yep. Tom, I've been told his IQ is above room temperature, but I'm mostly familiar with him from online arguments where it's not even evident. So this guy has quite a storied history online of being not just a shamed writer, but one of these terribly libertarian science fiction writers, as there seems to be so many of them. And I just absolutely am fascinated by this guy because he sounds like a pile of garbage.
Why is it that there are so many science fiction writers that are ridiculous libertarians? And I don't have anything against libertarians as people. Everybody has their own set of religious beliefs. If you're just a chill dude who's like, I like what I like, I believe in what I believe in, that's fine. But when you start going out there and trying to troll people and acting like a real Big Daddy LC, then, like, you know, get over yourself, bro.
You know what I learned from Larry Correa, Bob? Larry Correa, a popular author of Monster Hunter International.
Yeah. Well, I've learned that he's way richer than I am. So
yeah, that too, right?
Something right.
You want to? So if you're ever curious about learning from a real factitian, that's a name I'm making up. What COVID-19 and the coronavirus is all about? Popular libertarian author Larry Correa has much about it on his website.
No.
Oh,
are
yeah.
You serious?
Oh yeah. He's a pile.
Oh, man, I have to go check this out after we get done.
Pile. But what I've noticed is that you don't actually – libertarians, I don't think they actually will fall under that you say, like, if you like what you like thing.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think, Bob, that you've not really had too many interactions with libertarians.
Not personal interactions.
Right,
no.
And you know how I know that?
Because I said I don't hate them.
Because I have a joke for you. You ready?
Okay, all right.
How do you know if somebody's a libertarian?
How?
Don't worry, they'll tell you.
That's
as we found, and is this not Brad Linneweaver clearly said it at some point in his
That's
career,
true.
Right?
That's true.
I've been getting libertarian stuff in all my books for years.
Man,
Larry Correa.
I remember back in the day when that was just a joke about Apple users.
Wait, did Apple users tell you?
Yeah. How do you know someone uses an Apple? They'll tell you.
So I think we can come to the terms with the fact that the authors of these books
are terrible people, even if they're liked by lots of people.
Right, right. One is awful and the other is dead. And honestly, that's fine.
I guess it is.
That's fine. So let's talk about the plot of Doom for a second.
The plot of Doom. The game?
Yes.
Or the plot? Okay.
Yes.
Well, do we want to start with the original plot of the game?
Yes, I do. I do. I think that's a really smart way to go.
Going back to the original README file.
Yes.
I'm going to read the first paragraph.
Cool.
of the readme of the original Doom.
Can you do it? Can you do a dramatic reading of it? I'd really like that. And then if you'd like me to, if we feel as though we need to continue going, I will happily continue.
Okay, do you have it pulled up?
Yeah, I do. It's right
okay,
here.
Okay, do you want to switch out paragraphs? Like I'll read the first paragraph and you do the second one? Okay.
Sure, sounds good.
Cool, that's awesome. All right. So
this is a reading of Doom from id Software's original readme.txt file.
Back in that time where games truly required you to read all about the story before you played them, because stories were but a thin husk of context for the rest of what you were doing.
Wow, this is 25 years old.
Oh, I
this
hate
is
it so much.
This is 25 years old.
So this game is old enough not only to smoke, not only to drink, but to have children make bad decisions, right?
Yes. Yeah.
To go into crippling student loan debt. Cool.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm so ready. I can't wait.
The story so far. You're a Marine, one of Earth's toughest, hardened in combat and trained for action. 3 years ago, you assaulted a superior officer for ordering his soldiers to fire upon civilians. He and his body cast were shipped to Pearl Harbor, while you were transferred to Mars, home of the Union Aerospace Corporation.
I'd like to stop for a second, really quick. That was a phenomenal reading, by the way.
Thanks. I thought you were just going to pick up where I left off.
I am, but I needed to interrupt you for a moment. Brad Linneweaver and Biffy to Pew.
You want to interrupt and talk about how I ran out of breath at that one point?
you did. Brad Linneweaver and Deaf Eat a Pew really blew up this paragraph into the most ridiculous and unenjoyably inaccurate prologue to this book series. And it also contradicts that readme file.
Yeah.
I always imagined, like, I like the image of the full body cast, because what that tells me is that Doom Guy, as we'll go by him in this, Doom Guy didn't just punch this guy. He went full out, like, lion on this dude and, like, tried to rip his bones out.
He tried to rip and tear him.
He did. So, like, this gives us a really good idea as to who Doom Guy is, right? Like, it's great character development at the beginning. He didn't just assault him. He put him in a fucking full body cast.
I just wondered if he hit him, he could punch so hard that one punch just, like, broke the guy's spine and all of his limbs.
Well, what's funny about that, too, is that that's not even, you know, that's not even correlative with the game. Because in the game, Doom Guy has to walk around with his hand in front of him. And when he punches, it's just with the right hand, and it's just this slight punch over and over. It's like a one-inch punch that... Obviously, when you get the Berserk pack, it turns demons into these perfectly, like, clean combinations of pixels falling to the ground in perfectly nice piles. It's a really good version of that sound. But this guy's got the power. So I do think one fist turned this guy into his full body cast.
Put him in body cast.
Yeah. So I'm going to continue.
Okay.
The UAC is a multiplanetary conglomerate with radioactive waste facilities on Mars and its two moons, Phobos and Deimos. With no action for 50 million miles, your day consisted of sucking dust and watching restricted flicks in the rec room.
For the last 4 years, the military, UAC's biggest supplier, has used the remote facilities on Phobos and Deimos to construct various secret projects, including research on interdimensional space travel. So far, they have been able to open gateways between Phobos and Deimos, throwing a few gadgets into one and watching them come out the other. Recently, however, the gateways have grown dangerously unstable. Military volunteers entering them have either disappeared or been stricken with a strange form of insanity, babbling vulgarities, bludgeoning anything that breathes, and finally suffering an untimely death of full-body explosion. Matching heads with torsos to send home to the folks became a full-time job. latest military reports state that the research is suffering a small setback, but everything is under control.
A few hours ago, Mars received a garbled message from Phobos.
We require immediate military support. Something fragging evil is coming out of the gateways. Computer systems have gone berserk.
The rest was incoherent. Soon afterwards, Deimos simply vanished from the sky. Since then, attempts to establish contact with either moon have been unsuccessful.
I gotta stop you right here.
Sure. Sure. Sure.
I don't...
This is both, like, equally badass...
Yeah.
And equally terrible, right?
What... They just kept throwing people into these gateways. They were like,
yeah, why not?
Hey, it's fine. And I love the fact that they suffer an untimely death of full body explosion. So
don't you think there's a problem there from the beginning? Like, oh, that guy just blew up. Maybe we should stop this.
I don't understand why, like, yeah, not only why they continue to do it. I mean, I get it. Evil research, you know, government research. Corporations and all that crap, but like, also, if that's the case in Doom, why doesn't your guy just hang out and wait for everyone that's a bad guy to explode?
Because I don't think that's the zombies.
Yeah.
Like, so, I think this is just people that have been sent through the teleporters, but I don't think, like, because I think the zombies, if I remember, are reanimated or just they are inhabited with demon souls, but I think this is just people who've been sent through.
Got it.
Which was interesting to me because, well, okay, I have to ask for so the first teleporter.
Mm-hmm.
That you encounter in Doom is not in the first episode.
Really?
Yeah. The first one you encounter in the first episode is the one that sends you to the pit full of all the demons that kill you.
Okay. All right.
And then from that point, the next episode has teleporters, and so does the third. So, like, this is one of these plot points that, like, I loved that has never been recreated in any one of the other games. I actually think there's a lot of really cool stuff about the original plot. Like, I love the fact that they're doing these experiments on Phobos and Deimos, like, because the moon's name means, like, fear and terror. Like, I just think that's cool. It's a cool little thing. It's not – they never – like, for as heavy-handed as this is, they never said that. You sort of just had to find that out. But also, it's set on the moon. It's not on Mars, which is also cool. But – what people a lot of the time what is forgotten is that Doom Guy dies at the end of the first episode. He goes to the teleporter. Yeah. He's killed by all these demons, and that's how he discovers where Deimos is, because it's floating above Hell. And when he dies, he appears on Deimos in Hell. So then he can go through all these teleporters because he's no longer technically alive. So that's why he doesn't go insane. Or does he go insane later? So we'll
right. Yeah, I mean, well, if you're spoiler alert, if you've been playing Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal.
Yeah.
Maybe he does.
Right. Anyway, so you were going to say something. I went over you. I just got really excited about this.
No, it's all good. I was actually going to say that we should, I mean, the readme goes on a couple of paragraphs from there.
Forever.
And
it's so
like,
90s, though, right? Sucking vacuum.
Yeah, basically they're like, hey, you and your squad have been sent to check out what's going on. You got left to guard the perimeter while everybody else went inside. All you heard over your radio was screams. They all are probably dead. You're now the only person left on Phobos to go take everybody out.
That also says to me, though, that for as, like, hardcore as this guy might sound, he's also a scrub.
Mm-hmm.
Because they left him at the perimeter. You don't do that with anybody but, like, your Dobsons. Like, well, your guys that you just leave. You're like...
He was court-martialed, man. He's left to... He's got sent to the shittiest of the shit assignments because he's a shit person. Because he knocked out his superior officer. Which is really funny that there's... In talking about this, the only thing that the only thing that's the things that have really stuck out with me forever have been the fact that Doom Guy is got in trouble for punching out a superior officer.
Yeah, badass, right? Like, would you put that on a meter? Like, where would you put that on a meter of badass from 1 to 10?
Like, that's like a 12.
Yeah, because those guys have guns, right?
Yeah, he's like, dude, I'm the coolest, and you're shooting innocent people, so not only am I going to punch you and put you in a body cast with one little one-inch punch, but I'm the savior of the innocent.
This guy's so cool.
I one of the things that we talked about with this game that I remember having conversations about over and over was that Doom Guy was supposed to be a genetic descendant of B.J. Blazkowicz, the hero of the Wolfenstein series.
Yes.
I don't see that anywhere in the readme. I no. want to know where the hell that came from. Like, did we just make it up?
I don't either. So that is something that... No. John Romero himself has actually confirmed that's the case. I think... So, I'm going to look it up really quick. Doom Guy descended from BJ... How do you spell Blazkowicz? B-L-S-K-O-W-I-Z. There's C's in front of Z's. Let's see. Doom Guy, Wikipedia. Okay.
Oh, you're going straight to the hot Wikipedia, huh?
Yeah. Anyway, I remember this was somewhere. Okay. Here we go. Okay. So the Marine is not referred to by name in the original game. I'm just reading this directly from the Wikipedia. From actual Wikipedia, too, which, you know, it's right. And there are references to these, too. Romero described the choice as increasing player immersion. There was never a name for Doom Marine because it's supposed to be you, the player. Tom Hall's original design draft, the Doom Bible, described several planned characters, all who went unused in the final version. The sole non-playable character... Just wait for the original name. The sole non-playable character, Buddy Decote, bore the most similarities to the game's eventual protagonist. Decote is an... Oh, this is actually really cool. This goes back to what I was saying. I did not know this. Decote, D-A-C-O-T-E, is an acronym for dies at conclusion of this episode. And Buddy was supposed to be killed by a boss at the end of the planned third episode. In the finished product, this nearly happens to the Marine in the final level of the first episode, but you continue your adventure into episode two. Later, when asked, Tom Hall and John Romero confirmed that the Doom Guy is a descendant of B.J. Blazkowicz. So they confirmed it in, like, talking with, I guess, game press.
Uh-huh.
But I think that was also just a matter of the fact that visually the game looked so similar to Wolfenstein with the face at the bottom.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the face was basically almost looking the same. They're both Marines. That one was like the spiritual successor to the other. But in my head, yeah, he is like a descendant of B.J. Blazkowicz, right?
Which
who as we know, goes on vacation to kill fucking Nazis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's because, you know, you should punch a Nazi when you find him.
God, B.J. Blazkowicz is so cool. He's so cool.
So, all right, gang. Homework.
Homework.
Homework. Before next episode, which I guess will give you a week.
Yeah, yeah.
How far should we have everybody read in a week?
I got you. In fact, I will tell you right now. So if you get the copy of this book, which I'm sure you can find by not providing any money to the authors whatsoever. I mean, one's dead, please, and the other don't. Sucks. So please don't. Don't actually.
But we're not telling you to steal a book.
Please steal a book. let me find out. I'm gonna give them exactly where I almost had. I should have had it knocked down. You would have thought that was, you know, something that I had done beforehand. So, for those of you who, yes, here we go. Got it. Okay, I think through chapter 15.
Through chapter 15.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. And that'll get us about, let's see. I'm like, no, don't do
actually,
that.
No. Can we say through chapter 16?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Because that's a pretty essential. That's about halfway through the book. And
yeah.
It's
that puts us at, according to my Kindle, read through chapter 15.
Through chapter 16.
End at the end of chapter 16.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that is going to put us almost exactly 50% of the way through the book.
Okay, and I would like to offer a few challenges to anybody who reads along with us.
Okay.
Count however many times you fucking groan.
How many times you groan while reading?
You groan while reading. Okay, it's so bad. Mm-hmm. Secondly, count however many times our protagonist explains off his basic attraction to the female body as something just which should, like, I don't even know. Just whenever he talks about a female body, take a drink and please don't die.
Or at least keep count of it.
Keep count of it. And the third is to count how many times the phrase sour lemon shows up.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. I have one more for you.
Cool.
Just because I want to talk about this is a specific thing. I want you to count how many times he refers to his superior officer Weems as Lieutenant Beelzebub. You know, that's my challenge for you.
Yeah, I think it's
Because I just want you to know that going into this, friends, it's a bad book. It's not. There's the only redeeming qualities it has are perhaps the laughter that you'll get out of reading it. Don't you know how you used to do like book covers in elementary school or in high school and stuff with the brown paper bag? Make yourself one of those so nobody knows that you're reading this book.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to bring up one last thing here, just to know what kind of quality book you're truly getting into. The word, the name of the country, Kafiristan, the very first word in the book, it's misspelled.
It's misspelled?
It's misspelled, yep. So Kafiristan is spelled K-A-F-I-R. And now I'm not doing this through any kind of, like, you know, deep research. It's Wikipedia, right? But even in the original, even the original language, it's A. In fact, there's root words that it goes back to. So the K-E, I'm really interested to know where that spelling came from. But from what I can tell, it's all misspelled.
Wow.
So.
Cool.
In fact, we can tell it's misspelled because, and this is a part of personal expertise that I have. Rudyard Kipling has a story that is set in Kafiristan, and even as far back as 1888 when it was written, it was spelled K-A-F-I-R. I hate this book.
Wow.
But here's the thing I'm going to say, too. I'm just going to put this out there for a little bit of hope. And maybe you can agree or disagree. And this is where we can leave off. There are hints and moments and flickers of cleverness and really atmospheric sci-fi in this. And when I say sci-fi, I'm not talking about like new sci-fi, like that's really intended
classic,
to be
you're
heavy.
Talking about Heinlein. Philip K. Dick and Heinlein. Yes. Yeah, you're talking, I mean, and I think that's Lina Weaver.
Yes.
I think that's his natural affinity for references from that era.
And I think I would say this too about the prologue. I think the prologue we had discussed in our texts going up to it how stupid and cheesy some of the military dialogue is.
Yeah.
And I actually think that the prologue does a pretty good job at capturing the that like devil may care tongue in cheek. I'm a pretty tough guy in the military, but my role is to be in the military and I'm just a grunt kind of tone really well that you got in things like the book that comes to me that I'm thinking about Heinlein, like I'm thinking about Starship Troopers, but I'm also thinking about this other book, Glory Road, that is very, like, I think there's a lot of comparisons you can make between Heinlein's Glory Road in this book, because Glory Road is all about a guy who is he's ex-military and he's out of the military and he doesn't like how mundane his life has become. So he finds an ad in a local newspaper from this doctor and she's female. And of course he's drawn into it by the fact that she's like a professional woman and he finds her.
She's
a professional woman. Like she doesn't, she right. Does, like she's a he's woman only cared about her boobs generally.
Okay.
But no, yes, she's a woman for a living, but also, like, she's a woman who is a professional at something, which,
okay.
You know, in the 1950s and 60s, you don't find too professional many of those games. She's smart. She's got a good head on her shoulders. Well, we're going to make sure we got to find out, because underneath that head, there's going to be some nice breasts.
I hate our past. I hate our past is, like, white men.
It's terrible. We're terrible. So he goes... he answers this ad because she needs like a strong man, and she's this doctor who's putting together a teleportation experiment and sends him and her to another dimension where he becomes like, he's like the white savior in the dimension, right? He's like the Conan almost. Like
is he John Carter?
Yes, there we go, John Carter. Mm-hmm. But the book is all a satire on that garbage.
Okay.
And he becomes the hero of this other dimension where she's like the damsel in distress. And it's all about how his life becomes absolutely mundane even there. Like, being the hero of that dimension is just – it just sucks. Like, there's nothing. There's no happiness in it. But it's funny that we talk about that because I think there are a ton of comparisons to be made between this and, like, the seeking out of female attention – in honorifics and heroics as the lone hero in another dimension that actually strangely really like link up with this book tonally.
Mm-hmm. Get ready for what is going to be a frustrating read, as it is definitely 2000s tone deaf, you know, like 2020 tone deaf. It's a 25-year-old book and it's written for teenage and early 20s boys to fantasy fulfillment.
Did you know that on the first page, by the way, they pass through what's known as the Torn Hymen? It's a canyon.
It's highlighted in my book.
The Torn Hymen. But it was a Bosch canvas. Like, there are some great subtle descriptive statements in the prologue, and it all goes downhill from there.
I can't wait to talk about it.
I know. Yeah, I can't wait either. So I guess starting next week, we'll jump into the first 16 chapters. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a mess.
I'm also dreading it.
It's going to be awful. Awful.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm out of here.
All right, hey, if you want to catch us, I am on Instagram. You can catch me at Dits Tech. That's DITS Tech. We'll get some emails and stuff like that up and running by next episode so that you can communicate with us. But if you want to follow us there, do you have any places, social medias or anything you want people to check you out at?
God, no.
Cool.
I have nothing. I
had Twitter. I don't know what it is anymore.
That's fine.
It's not like I don't use it. I mean, I've been trying to use Instagram because I'm hot for those likes.
Yeah, I'm not. I completely eliminated all of my social media. So maybe this will cause us to get back into it at some point. Who knows?
Yeah. All right.
Who knows?
We'll see you next week. I've been Bob.
And I'm Rance.
I don't know. Can we rip and tear next week?
Yeah. Rip and tear and beer.
Later.
Later.
This is
Oh,